Hello, and thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This week's episode is presented by Jeremy Ahrens, our 2008 summer youth intern and a student at the Sunset International Bible Institute in Lubbock, Texas. Let's tune in now for Jeremy's message.
It's good to be with you here this morning. Jenny and I were thinking about this time last year. We were pretty nervous. We were just fixing to move to Lubbock. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of unknowns. There was a lot of things that we were scared about. We didn't really know anyone there. We didn't know if all our support was going to be there. It's amazing as a year goes by to look back and to see how God has answered prayers. All the support we needed, thanks be to this church and other churches, came in. We have amazing new friends in Lubbock, friends that are going to last us a lifetime. That's what's amazing about Lubbock. We have friends from all over the world. And just to be able to look back and to see how also God has helped us to be able to study the Bible every day, has helped us to increase our zeal for to be better Christians. And so we're just so thankful for the year that we've had. We've been blessed so much by this congregation, by the congregation as a whole, and by a lot of you individuals. And I just wanted to thank you publicly for all the support you've given us, because it's because of you that we're able to do what we are doing. And I just thank you for your faith in us and your faith in the Lord's work. It's been a blessing to be here this summer. I thank Alan for letting me be his intern. He didn't ride me too hard. There was a few bathrooms I had to clean. But other than that, it wasn't too bad. But just to be able to be here with Alan and these other staff members that I've looked up to for so long since I've been here, it's been a real blessing to be able to look at you guys and to sit at your feet and learn and see how you do the things that you do to make this church run so smoothly. I've also been blessed to be able to teach the youth group this summer and Sunday mornings. We've looked at leadership, and we tried to look at some people from the Bible that weren't exactly maybe on your top 10 list of leaders. We looked at Barnabas, we looked at Abigail and Esther and Elijah and some of these people, and we just looked at the leadership qualities they had, and we looked at how although they all had different leadership qualities, they all used them for the same purpose. They all used them to glorify God. And we looked at the fact that we all have different leadership qualities in the youth group. We all have different circles of influence, but no matter what skills and abilities that God has given us, He's given us the job to use them however we can to glorify Him. And we kind of talked about the fact that as Christians, that's our whole identity, is to do whatever we do to glorify God. And we know that we are too. To get to heaven, that's our purpose, and to take as many people with us. So I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about the idea that as Christians, we need to be reminded daily that our time on earth is short and we have to act quickly. If you have your Bibles, let's turn over to James, the second chapter. Because James says something really neat. There's a verse there that I've read before that I've kind of just skipped over as kind of a verse that sounds kind of commonplace to us. In James 2, I'm going to start in verse 15. It says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Now, I know that verse probably sounds pretty familiar to us, doesn't it? But I've never remembered going on to verse 17. And verse 17 is what I want to focus on today. James 2:17 says this, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, when you read that verse, you can't just skip over it lightly. James is saying here that if you do not have an active faith, then the opposite is true. If your faith is not active, then your faith is dead. And that should be a wake-up call to us. We should look at that verse and say, we have to ask ourselves, do I have an active faith? Is my faith active, or is my faith just dead? We have to take an honest look at ourselves and really answer that question when we read that verse. Do I have an active faith? Remember the story of Noah and how only 8 people out of the entire earth were saved. We've always grown up kind of telling that as a children's story, but the more you get older and you look at that story, that is not a children's story. The entire earth population is destroyed, and only 8 people are saved. Jesus is going to make a parallel to that story in Matthew 24, if you want to turn over there. In Matthew 24, Jesus makes a parallel and talks about, just like the days of Noah, there's another day coming that's going to be just like that. Matthew 24, I want to read verses 37 and 39. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You see, Jesus draws a parallel from the destruction, the day of judgment and the day of Noah. And he says there's another day coming like that. People are going about doing things like they've always done, but there's going to be another day coming just like that. And we can think about, how does that apply to us today? Well, as Christians, from studying the Bible, we know that there's another day coming just like that. That people who are not in the ark, people who are not inside of the Lord's church, they're not going to make it. And so we have to be reminded that we have a message that they need to hear. I think about another example from the Old Testament about the children of Israel when they were in slavery. And you remember the last plague, the death of the firstborn. And God had instructed Moses to tell them to put the blood over the doorposts. Remember they took the lamb and the Passover lamb and they put the blood over the doorposts. And we know that God was faithful to his word. And when the angel passed over, all the houses that had the blood over the doorposts, all the people that were in those houses were safe. But we know that wasn't true for the Egyptians. Their firstborn sons and their firstborn of their cattle, they all were wiped out. And so as we think about how do we apply that to us? Well, we know the same is true today, don't we? That when the Lord comes again, only those who are covered by his blood are going to be safe. Only those who are covered by the blood of the Lamb, just like it was back then, only those who are covered by that precious blood are going to be safe when the day of judgment comes. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing where we are right here, right now, to tell the lost people about the good news? Because there's good news. There is hope. There is hope for these people that don't know Jesus right now. This morning I want to look at three major reasons, I guess we could call them excuses, that seem to kind of hold us back from sharing our faith. And you can remember them by just three simple letters if you're taking notes. I didn't have a handout this morning, but it's pretty easy. If you can remember ACT, I know most kids don't want to write that down, but ACT, if you can remember the simple letters ACT, and that'll help you remember, just kind of be on your guard about three things that seem to hold us back from sharing our faith. So the first one, the A, is afraid. And when you kind of think about it, it doesn't really make sense, does it? Why are we afraid to tell people good news? We talk about the gospel being good news, but why are we afraid to tell them good news, news that can save their life? I remember an illustration from one of my classes about a paramedic. This guy was a brand new paramedic, and he had taken all the classes and done CPR, and he had practiced on the CPR dummy. He had done all this stuff. But that first time he got the call, he was actually on the job, he got the call, and they went to that first place, and sure enough, there was someone that needed CPR. He was scared to death, but you know what? He did it. He was afraid he was going to mess something up. He was afraid that he might forget how many times you breathe and all this stuff, but he knew the fact that if he did nothing, this person, they had no hope, but anything he could do to help them would be worth it. And we think about that applied to us. The same is true for us, that we see people. And sometimes we're so afraid of doing something wrong or, you know, saying the wrong thing or not being able to find something in Scripture. We're so afraid of messing something up that we forget to look and see that they're already dead. They're already dying. And that anything that we can do to give them hope will be worth it. So I want to think about what are some things that we can do to be bold for Christ, not to be afraid. Well, just the simple thing of praying for people. We meet people every day that are hurting, that are hungry, that are basically hopeless. We need to be ready to pray for these people that have no hope. I think about the story of Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 as they're walking into the temple. And they see the beggar at the door. And Peter actually stops and looks at him. And I can imagine what the beggar must have been thinking. He was thinking, oh, finally, someone's going to give me some money. All these people have passed me by. But you remember what Peter says? Peter says to him, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have I give you. And he takes his hand and he stands up, he heals him. Now we might think, I can't do miracles. Some of us might think we can. But we can't do miracles. What do we have to offer people? But when you really think about it, we have so much more. Peter healed this man's physical body. We have something so much more to offer people than just the stuff of this world. We can offer them the way to life everlasting. We can tell them about one, the Scripture tells us, who is able to do more than they can ask or they can imagine. The thing is, we have to begin to care more for their souls. And that's the C, the C letter, is we have to begin to care. If I take an honest look at myself, honestly, sometimes I just don't care. And that's kind of human nature, isn't it? We're more concerned about ourselves, about what we're doing, about the things that we're involved with. I think about living in Lubbock. Why is it that there's lots of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses? They're always coming up to our doors. Now, in Lubbock, I live right next to one of their churches, so that might kind of explain some of it. But if you really think about it, we think about these people are always doing something. They're always out there. But when's the last time that someone from the Church of Christ came up and knocked on your door or met you in line and asked you where you went to church? Now, I know we kind of answer that question with a simple answer. Well, we don't do door knocking anymore. Door knocking is not really effective. Maybe that's true, but you can't just stop the question there. You have to ask yourself, what do we do? What are we doing where we are right here to show people that we care? Turn over to Matthew 9:36. There's one quick verse in there, Matthew 9:36. And Jesus, I love this verse because it shows just how much Jesus cared for these people whenever he was confronted with people that were in need. Matthew 9:36 says this: "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." I love that verse because it's just one quick verse, and it's one of those verses I've skipped over a lot. But this verse right here says that Jesus saw these people. He saw how hopeless they were. He was human. He had compassion on them. For no other reason than just this verse, we should care because Jesus cared. We have to begin to have compassion for these people, to care for these people. So whether we are doing door knocking, or whether we're going to Mexico, building churches, or whether we're just sharing the gospel with people right next door to our homes, we have to begin to focus on the fact that it's not the method that's important, it's the message. Too often we get caught up with the fact that we have to have all these different methods, but it's not the method that's important, it's the message. I think about the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember how he ran down and chased down the chariot? Do you think that was his normal method of preaching? He was known as the chariot chaser. I don't think that was his normal way to get people to turn to Christ. But the thing is, though, I love the verse in Acts 8:35. It says that Philip simply preached to him Jesus. And all throughout the New Testament, we see all kinds of methods used. Paul and Peter and all these guys use different methods, but it's always the same message. Different methods, but the same message. They always preach to him Jesus. They always preach Jesus. And that just shows us the importance of the message. We have to begin to realize that it is the message that's most important, no matter what method you're using. So I want to ask us, in our daily struggle to be more like Jesus, are we taking every opportunity that we have to share the good news about him? There's a story of a group of fishermen, and they devoted their whole lives to fishing. They loved it so much. They would get together in each other's homes, and they would play games, and they would eat together. But no matter what, these guys, the subject always came up about fishing. They loved it so much that they built buildings to have meetings in a couple times a week. And they just, it was their whole life. They loved it. But the problem was, while they were doing all this stuff, no one was fishing. They would go as far as to look up online and get the latest techniques and the latest lures and the latest ideas and read articles about it, but no one was fishing. They would write bulletins and write articles and books and do all kinds of things about their passion, fishing, but the whole time they were doing all of this stuff, no one was actually fishing. One time during one of their meetings, someone got up and said, "I'm going to go fishing." So they got up and went to a faraway country, and they caught two amazing fish, and they came back and told the group there, and the group was so excited, and the group, they talked about it for days and weeks and months, and they just loved this story that this person, this fishing story that this person had. But that was one person. The problem was, no one else went fishing. So we have to kind of ask ourselves about this story. Is it really fair to call these people fishermen? Is it fair to call them fishermen if no one was actually fishing? And I'm sure you can see the obvious parallel to that. Can we call ourselves Christians? Can we call ourselves Christ's followers if we're not actually fishing for men? I think the best way to show others that we care is by our actions, just like what James said. The third reason I think the truth isn't shared, the T, We had afraid, we have care. This is T. This is our time. And this is a tough one for me. I saved this one for last because this one steps on my toes a lot. Why is it that I spend so much time on things that don't matter? Now, I don't want to step on any toes here, but I love to play video games. Why do I spend so much time on things that are just worthless? If we take an honest look at how we divide up our time every day, the things that are most important to us get done, don't they? I'll step on some more toes here while I'm at it. When my sports team is playing, I'm not going to tell you who that is, you probably already know. When my sports team is playing, OU, I'll just say it, since Ryan's here, he's got my back. When my sports team is playing, there's a lot more important things I can do, but I always make sure, whether it's TiVo'd or recorded or either, if I'm there, I always watch that. I never fails. It's just I'm dedicated. I'm a dedicated fan. When my friends are going to the movies and they want to go see Batman or something, if it's not a girly movie, if it's a movie that I want to see, I'm there. I'm always there. I always make it. It's just what I do, and I know you guys can relate to that. The things that are most important to us, they always get done, don't they? With this in mind, we have to think about making our priorities the Lord's priorities. We're reminded, there's several scriptures that remind us that time is running out and we have to act quickly. In John 9:4, Jesus says this in John 9:4, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. The night is coming when no one can work." This verse in John 9:4 shows us the urgency of sharing the truth with others. We have to begin to be faithful stewards of the different time and the different opportunities that God gives us to share his word. I want to end this morning by just telling you a simple conversion story about how this woman shared her faith with her neighbors. There's a young man that was in college, and he was like most typical guys. He would hang out with his friends on the weekend, and they were hanging out at a local bar one night, and he met this young lady there. And sure enough, they saw each other quite a few times, and they fell in love, and they got married, and that's kind of sounds like your typical story. Well, about 6 months after they got married, he went to join the Air Force, and so they had to move. And you see, that's just kind of your normal story, isn't it? The fact that, you know, they fell in love. But the thing is, they were really good people, but they were missing something in their lives. They didn't really have a purpose. They didn't have a goal in mind, especially eternity. See, no one had ever shared the gospel with this young couple, and it just sounds like a lot of young couples that are out there today. Well, they did end up moving, and this time, this move was going to be different because they didn't know this, but this time, this move right here, they didn't know, but after this move, their lives would be different. Their lives were going to change. They moved into next door to a couple about their same age, and in the mornings, this young man's wife and their next door neighbor, they would drink coffee together. They became very good coffee buddies in the mornings. And over these morning coffee sessions, the young lady and the next door neighbor, they began to talk to each other, and she began to share the gospel with this young lady. And eventually, this lady was baptized. And as you can imagine, as young Christians are, she got her husband, and with some reluctancy, she finally got him to come too, and he was baptized. And that just sounds like a simple story, doesn't it? The fact that this lady just over just coffee just shared the gospel, shared her life, showed her that she cared, and two people, a family was saved because of this lady just took time to care. And I love this story because the fact that this young man in the story, if you looked in the future, this young man in the story, he's about my parents' age now, and he's been an elder in the Lord's church for about the last 13 years. And the wife that was obedient first, she's been there right by his side the whole time, serving as a faithful member. They had a son too. They had a son that grew up, and this son is now serving as a youth minister. See the amazing thing that this woman did? She had no idea the impact that she would make on entire family tree. They also had a daughter, and I thought she was pretty cute, so of course I married her, as anyone would do. And now we have a son, Lucas. And I love to tell that story, just a simple conversion story of Bob and Dodie, of Jenny's family, because this woman had no idea that her impact that she would have just sharing the gospel with her neighbor just over morning coffee. She had no idea that she was going to change a family's entire life, that she would change a family's tree for eternity. And we're hoping to pass that on, and I know Chris is hoping to pass that on as well. I'm so thankful for this woman that shared the gospel with Jenny's family. I will always be grateful for the active and the living faith that she had. See, she wasn't afraid to tell them the good news. She cared enough for them. She showed that she cared for them. Most importantly, she took her time out. She could have been doing a lot more things that morning. If it was me, I probably would have been sleeping in. She could have been doing a lot more things in the mornings, but she did at least these three to show them that she cared. And so I want to challenge us this morning with this. Be active in sharing your faith. Sharing our faith isn't a hard thing to do. A simple definition for evangelism is this: sharing what you already know about Jesus with people that you already know. God has given all of us a circle of influence, people that we're close to, that no one else is close to those same people. We need to begin to look and see the opportunities that God has given us and blessed us with to tell others more about Him. We need to begin to pray for these people. We need to begin to actively ask God for these people's hearts to be open, for us to know what to say, for us to know something that they're struggling with that we can pray for. We need to begin to ask God to open their hearts and open these doors for us to be able to see when the right opportunity is and what the right thing is to say to them, so that we can change families' lives, so that we can change families' trees, and so that we can glorify God in everything we do. This morning, as we respond to God, let's all stand together. As we think about what God's wanting to tell us today, as we listen to this song and as we think about things in our hearts that need to change, let's focus together and open our hearts to what God is trying to tell us this morning.